Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stania.
It's all about you. Ooh. Let's peel away the layers and focus on you. Ooh. What's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stania.
Pleasant good afternoon. You see how Brittany is doing me again, right?
I ain't getting in that
You see how the show is starting? I don't even know it's starting, right?
I have nothing to
You see
say.
The dirty looks that Brittany giving me? I ain't got nothing to say about it. Pleasant good afternoon. Welcome to Tell It to Stania. That's right. I am she and she is me. Now, I was missing last week because I had a little accident. Okay, I burned up my legs. So. I had a little accident. But listen, by the time it's the salt water got to it and the aloe, I was fine after a little while. But it seemed like a whole lot happened between the time that I was last on live. You know, I like to say that it feels as though like you live about 10 different lifetimes and so many things happen in this country within a week.
Every day. Multiple things. Every day.
And that is Shakisha Murray or McPhee. You know, I like to ask you that. Which one it is? You using a man name or you using a man name?
You know what?
It's McPhee or Murray?
Officially, it's McPhee. Shakisha McPhee.
Okay. All right, then. Cool. Moving right along. All right, then. Then it's a dirty look from her, too. Anyway, guys, a whole lot happened this week in the country. And, you know, I'm really saddened about it. Watching the news, it really, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, are we, like, what are we doing? Are we doing too much? Are we not doing enough? And, of course, I'm talking about the crimes that would have happened this week with the young people. And, you know, it's concerning. It's very concerning. So on today's show, we're going to talk about, the criminally minded juvenile, all right? Because if I'm not mistaken, the young people, there wasn't anyone over 25. Mm-mm. And I mean, I know juvenile is, you know, 21, you're considered an adult, but these were young people. Mm-hmm. Now, I do have something that I do want to share with you. And as we go through the show, I'm going to share some information and some things that I would have gathered from sources, from my own, I have worked as a teacher. I've been in the education system. I've been an assistant school psychologist. I've worked at, I don't know if I won't call the name. I mean, I think I said before, but I've worked with young people with programs, counseling, coaching, all that stuff. So, these are the things that I've seen and definitely people in the field that I've spoken to. And we also have a guest a little later in the show who's going to share some more insight because I know everything. I don't even know plenty. But anyway, for starters, I learned that, and if you want to be a part of the conversation, by the way, you can text me 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you could give me a call, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or you can text me. I thought someone called just now. You could text me, 422-4796. I was just getting ready to say, but we ain't even started talking yet. Anyway, so the first thing I want to share with you, from a very, very reliable source, I was told that guess how much people before the young people, school-age children, 18 up to 18. Guess how much? How many persons are before the court?
I can't.
500. About 500. There's about 500 cases before the court with young people or juveniles who have committed crimes. That's scary.
Chargeable offenses.
Yeah.
that's kind of scary. And even, like I said, with, you know, the shootings that happened, I think two persons were before. I think they had on ankle bracelets.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. And the surprising thing about it is, you know, sometimes we think it doesn't affect us.
Right.
But it does, because I got a call from, I have a 15-year-old son. I have a 15-year-old son.
Oh, you got his sons.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But the 15-year-old, he called me and he was like, Mommy, I know that boy.
Right.
I know one of the young men that was killed. And that's how close,
mm-hmm.
that's how close it, like, it really is.
Of course. And keep in mind now, you know, we could say, oh, it's gang violence, it's this, it's that. But, you know, there have been people who was minding their own business, who were robbed, who got shot just because they were walking by. You know, when I watched the video when they opened fire, I mean, anyone could have gotten shot.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing.
When I heard about what was happening, I had the thought, back in the day, like, murders happened, but it normally happened at night. Maybe a nightclub, or they would wait until they get you by themselves. But now it's anywhere, on site. I don't care if your mommy there, your child there. You know, we've seen, like, there's no rules. There's no...
Yeah. So it's a very, you know, it's something that we definitely need to address. All right. So I know that we have a call on the line. We're going to take the call in a minute. But there's some things that we're going to take a look at today from, you know, are they committing crimes because of poverty? Is it education? Is it lack of this, lack of that? We're going to go through all of them, hopefully, in this 1 hour. We're less than an hour at this point. All right, we have a caller. Caller, go ahead.
Well, good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir.
And so noticing a son.
Oh.
Oh, madam.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling.
Yeah. No, I am listening to you talk about what went down during the week with all the killing and what have you. And I listen all the time to radio shows, and they're talking about who is to be blamed. And
right.
We are to be blamed, and the government should
Everybody.
Be blamed, and the churches should be blamed, and all of us responsible. I can assure this country that the parents that bring these children in the world are responsible for all the situations we have, in particular the fathers, because they were asked to teach the children. It ain't the mothers. It's the children it's the fathers that were taught to teach the children the Ten Commandments and everything else that is right. I am just coming from a funeral where my aunt died 4 years ago, and my uncle, her husband, he just finished burying him. And together, they conceived between 21 and 23 children.
What?
And there is nobody in the entire Bahamas could point a finger to one of their children.
Right.
You understand me?
Yes, ma'am.
And if you only have one or two and you got to be up and down behind the police with them, something wrong with you and the rearing of your child.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Mother has 11.
Oh, you got a fertile family.
Of 11, 8 of them are retired, making substantive contribution to this country. And my mother never had to go downtown to the court. Not
yes,
for
ma'am.
No crime.
Okay, ma'am.
You understand?
I totally get what you're saying.
Parents are responsible, so tell them stop the foolishness. If you know you go and you have a child out of wedlock and you ain't got no man to help you, you find one church carry the child, turn them over to the pastor. But sometimes you can't even go to these pastors.
Well, see,
they almost voice the children.
Ma'am, listen. Listen, anyway, thank you for calling, ma'am, because you touch one little something there. But anyhow.
Yeah, but they need to seek help when they know they don't have a male figure in the home. Or if the male goes straight, find somebody, present the child, and ask them to help. But the home is responsible for all the criminals that we have.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, ma'am.
Have a great day.
You too, darling. Okay. So, you know, she got ahead of me. Jesus, we got another caller. She got ahead of me. And family is definitely one of the things that, you know, that I have on my list of, you know, what's really going on with persons who are criminally minded. So when we think about the home, the mothers are raising the children. Now, you know, we talk about it. Shakisha, remember now, last time you were here, we talked about how it was a certain priest talked about, okay, Brittany, tell me, I got a caller. Okay, tell the caller, give me 1 second. You remember there was a popular priest who talked about stop having so many children, and we lambaste him. I mean, we talked to him like an old dog. But I'm going to just say it right now, and y'all could get mad with me. Some of us don't need to be, we don't really need to be having no children. Okay. And we have enough. Mm-hmm. Because see, these are the same children we see before the courts. And I'm not saying that, oh, you know, the middle class are not before the courts and all like that. But I'm talking about in large droves. This is what we're seeing.
Sonia, some middle class people don't need to be having children.
Hello, them too. This isn't just
financial, you know.
I ain't only talking about them. I talking about all of us, mm-hmm. me included. That's why I only got one. Because I know I couldn't do it. Okay, anyway, we got to talk more about this family thing, but we got a caller, and I appreciate the callers for calling. Caller, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not good. I'm just the thought of my latest return to all this.
What did you say, sir?
I'm the father of the 3rd of August murder.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So, go on, sir.
I think that's what, I don't think all the blame is directly on the parents. They like, you don't try or you don't do this. We could always say what we could have done or should have done after the fact. But you try, you do your best. And some, and seems when inside the church, some people hardly are.
Right.
Some people in man good. My son was a disrespectful, rude child.
Right.
But he, still, I feel, was around people who I didn't agree with.
Right.
But you need to try your best to control him. I don't know how you could stop him, especially when he become adults. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times they don't blame the parents. Some parents did everything they could. As the police officer, they've been in places where the person did everything they could.
Right.
To raise his child in the right way. Never knew this child was doing certain things.
Right.
Never knew. So in every time, now sometimes parents are complicit in certain action. I agree with that.
Right.
But in many cases, they are not. They are not. So the notion is because someone have 15 children or 30 children and all ain't none is fallen. Some attention and everyone is problem.
And you the parents are raising a valid point, sir.
So I mean, what need to be done is we to deal this crime. The only solution we have is intervention. Intervention. The best way you can deter people before it gets to the point, because there are signs. There are other signs that we miss, or we just overlook. Or felt that it was in that serious. But there's other signs. We need to pay a little more attention to the signs before it fester into what we have today. There are signs.
Okay, sir, I just have a question. Okay, I know you had mentioned that you would have seen some things, like in terms of maybe the company that he was keeping. When you look back, do you think there was anything that maybe you could have been done, whether or not it was maybe the school, the church, you, or mommy, or anything?
That's what I'm saying now. There are always things that you can look back after the fact and say what could have or should have done. But I'm a person, I stay in church, I'm an Adventist, I'm just coming to church. I try to be to church every Saturday. I try to get my family to come to church every Saturday. Well, but that don't mean that you can force him to come to church. That's the issue. But for the record, he went to church on Saturday for the first time in a few years, and he died on Sunday.
Wow.
That's for the record. Well, so I feel it's not lost. I mean, the Lord knows why he did what he did. So I got to hold him to that part that he knows best. His will be done.
Okay, I'm only asking, and I know, you know, it doesn't make sense to look back, but I'm asking because there's someone out there who probably in the exact same position that you would have been in. And so for you to kind of say something, or hey, maybe I should have or could have, maybe that may be what they may need to hear right now. So that's the only reason why I'm actually asking that question. So
I feel like it could have been more involved. I agree, more involved, and probably he would have.
So maybe the presence could have been a yes. I mean, yeah, you say more involved.
I mean, he's in home now. Ain't like he was distant from the home. He's in home. I'm in the home.
Right.
So ain't like he was missing, and so I mean, we get second guess ourselves all the time. I personally.
Well, like I said, I'm only asking because there may be someone who may be listening right now in a similar position. And so if they, okay, so how you said, you know, you could have been more involved. And that's a big thing because sometimes, you know, as parents, we are busy providing for our children. You know, we out here and we working, we trying to make the ends meet. We want them to have this good life. But then at the same time, we're not there. We may not be there because, you know, we have a job or what have you. So sometimes as parents, we could be presently absent. You know what I mean?
I feel as a parent, if you could find some way to cause him to spend more time away from these negative influence and so forth, and probably something that you and him could have a neutral understand of how we can...
Right.
Be able to spend more time together because you like this and I like this. Or try to, I mean, just things that you can do in terms of keeping him more around you.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes children just can't find the interest that you have. And y'all just can't find the two interests that align. So,
okay.
And of course, him or her to be drawn to certain other people or curriculum or same thing.
Okay.
Then, you know, but my son was never like a gang member, although we were in quote unquote the inner city.
Right.
His biggest fault was he just a loving person. I mean, his friends might like you, but that don't mean he ain't like them. And that was one of the faults that, I mean, that's a trait that he probably get from me. I don't have an enemy. I don't believe in having enemies. I don't believe in disliking people. So he was one of those persons, but when you're around people who have that kind of trait, when they get disliked, this one and feel like you shouldn't like this one or be around this one, then you find yourself in a problem where people feel like you're a problem because you just don't have that kind of life where you feel like, I hate this one or for no reason. And that may be a fault.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
No problem.
I appreciate it so much.
Yes,
all right. Yes. Okay. And go ahead.
Yeah. No, Stanley, I was just listening to what the gentleman said. And I think it does go back to the family. And I think that we've changed so much over the years. And when you look back at it, in my case, my grandparents would have done so much, but way less. And so I think in the pursuit of us wanting so much more, we start to lose certain things. So I can remember Sunday dinners, you'd sit at the dining room table.
Right.
You know, I would remember, or my mommy would say, oh, my daddy on Sunday used to pack all the children in the car and we used to go driving. We'd have ice cream together and we'd stop to other family members' house. And just that sense of community and spending time. Everybody is so busy or so tired, just trying, like you say, to make the ends meet or trying to provide things that are wants. And I think that sometimes we miss the needs.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, and this is like a layered, this is a layered point.
There's no one, okay,
answer, solution.
If we fix this, then the problem will be solved. That's not the case.
Okay, first off, you know, we before the call, we were talking about, right, sometimes some people just shouldn't have kids or limit the amount that you have, okay? Right, middle class, rich, young, old, whatever it is. If you know that you're not in a position to take care of this child, because you could provide financially, but then still not provide the other things.
Emotional,
mental.
Spiritual.
Okay. Now, let's go over how you could spend time with your children. you could spend time, and Shakisha just said it, when you're eating, sit down and talk with your kids. If you washing dishes, come wash dishes with me. Mm-hmm. I go into the food store, come go with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You have to spend time. You have to spend time with your children. And even though the grandparents kicked in, and let me tell you, I could tell you right now, I mean, you know, my mom has passed, but she definitely helped me a whole lot in terms of parenting my daughter. I wouldn't even talk with my dad. My dad has stepped in definitely when I wasn't able to, when my daughter's dad wasn't able to, all my siblings, my dad has stepped in. Hi, Stan Davis. Boop, boop, boop. Love you. Okay, even my stepdad, the man who's married to my mom, that is, listen, my daddy is pa, and he is papi.
Okay.
And he helped. So there is this missing, you know, it's missing, because keep in mind too, now the grandparents are also younger. You know, we were talking about this coming up the stairs. The grandparents are younger than they were when we were growing up. So they, listen, when I think about the Grammy.
Yeah, no. Ain't no big mama no more. Ain't
No. The average Grammy trying to get BBL right now.
And Vanessa.
Okay, and Vanessa. Because I think about getting them.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? And right now they are focusing, as far as they're concerned, I already did the work with my children. It's now my time. So the mindset of the grandparents, it has changed. Okay. But at the same time, too, we talk about the fathers being in the home. Fathers, you know I like to say this 10,000 times. We need you.
Agreed.
And we don't need you just to show up and be presently absent. We need you strong. We need you as a leader. We need you. We need you to be the face of the family. I'm sick and tired of seeing woman as the face of the family. I am telling you, and I is the face of mine. I'm sick of it. We need you guys. We need y'all to show these boy children and girl children too, but we're talking about the boys right now, how to be good men. Okay? Another thing, you don't do fool in front of your children. You don't do foolishness in front of your children. You, let me tell you something. I just realized my daddy was human. Well, you know, I could be 100 years old. A couple years back, I just realized my dad was human because I had him for a superhero.
Could do no wrong.
I'm telling you. Lord knows, child, I done do some things now. I done been in these streets. But I can tell you one thing. My daughter never saw it.
No.
So there are things that we can do. And I must say, too, at some point. Now, see, the good thing is when, at the end of the day, because nothing is perfect and children have a mind of their own. But at the end of it, if you could say, you know something, I did what I was supposed to do as a parent, you could have a clear conscience. Now, if they chose to go that way, that's on them. But you did what you were supposed to do as a parent. We got to stop this now. We got to get our homes together. Because the parents, that's the first teacher, that's the first life teacher that a child has. And as a matter of fact, I've seen this on Facebook, so I'm going to steal it right now. The first person to break a child's heart was the parent. And right now, I'm talking to you, see, going back to my list, and I got somebody, I hope Dr. Williams still on the line. But we also have to stop. We need to stop waiting for the child to make amends with the parent.
You see that a lot.
Stop y'all crap, and y'all know, I don't want to say crap, but I know the white listening, and he like message me.
Oh, I was the parent. They the yes. Child. They no.
You are the parent. Yes. Lead the way.
You set the example. You be the bigger person. Yes. You be the adult.
Don't listen. We need a dropkick. That's still your daddy. That's still your mommy. Some parents are toxic. Anyhow, let me go on, cause y'all done run me out today, and I even know how I get run on. Anyways. Anyway, give me a minute before we soon go into a break. Hold on. Where we was at? We was at the family. Okay. And if, listen, the thing about it too, and Dr. Williams is going to share this, because I find this very interesting. So it isn't only the fathers, it was the mothers too. Mm-hmm. Because most of these children, they had a father, but the mommy was there.
You understand what I'm saying? So
agreed.
Something going on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Something going on there, too. But we have to get this thing together. We have to spend time with our children. We have to show our children love the way that they need to be loved. They go into the gangs because they're being accepted.
Mm-hmm. A sense of belonging.
It's a sense of belonging. The gangs are providing something that is missing in this child or in the home. Come on now. We got to get this thing together. This and by the way, as what my source said, and I'll get to this at some point, there's no one solution. It's not only the parents now. That's just one layer. So we need to stop just saying, oh, it's just this one thing. It's other things too. Now, one more point I'm going to get to, and then we're taking a break, and then Dr. Williams coming on. My nigga need part 2, 3, 4. I done see this coming. So we were talking about poverty. Mm-hmm. As, okay, why are they committing crimes, right? Now, when I was talking to my source, and they was like, oh, you know, poverty, a lot of people, they, you know, they don't have the money, da-da-da. So I said to the person, but we say in poverty. But at the same time, well, where they get money from? You know, I so green. Lord, I green by. I said, well, where they get the money from to get the guns then? So my source said, well, the gang leader provides this.
So I was about to say to you, because when we were having this conversation and you said the criminally minded juveniles, and remember I asked you, I said, you really think that children are like
right
naturally criminally minded? No, they're influenced by somebody.
Yes.
There's somebody out there that's benefiting from these at-risk children.
Yes.
And they are using them for their own enrichment.
Yes. This grooming, you know, we only talk about
grooming in the sexual way.
I remember a family member that I had. Notice I say had. When I pull up on him, he was in this, let's say this van or the broken down van, dilapidated van, something. He was smoking weed, and there was these younger boys who looked like they was, couldn't have been over 12, smoking weed along with him, and he was the adult.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who grooming children for crime. Now, what also amazed me, because we talk about this poverty thing, but then when I look at the children who say they ain't have no money, sometimes they in school they got on Tommy pants, so I understand, and they got a little coin chain, and then on top of that, let's go deeper. They always got lawyers, and for the most part, what I notice, it don't be public offenders, defenders, whatever the heck.
Mm-hmm.
So, but where all this money is be coming from? I didn't understand.
You know, they call them daddy. That's what they call the big gang leaders on the road. That's my daddy. That's what they call them, Stanya. You never heard that?
No,
Stanya, where you
speak? Listen, I only call my daddy, daddy, and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, leave that back.
Right, okay, hello.
Right. But yes, you have young men out there that call the older men, the ones that are really benefiting. Right.
Or benefiting.
They identify them as a father figure.
Well, I mean, I realize. I know that little piece.
Right, but they literally is calling them daddy.
But see, and this is why we have to really educate our children, because if this person really cared about you, see, it's a fake family.
Mm-hmm.
If this person really cared about you, how if they pumping all this money into you, they would have pumped money into you to start a business, to go to school, for something positive, not something negative. Anyhow, we could take a quick commercial break, and then we bring in Dr. Williams in, because Dr. Williams is... I sit in a Dr. Williams feet. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
fidelity. We're good for you.
Shop early to get your uniforms and catch Janae's Uniform Center's buy four, get one free sale. Free monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags and raincoats. Buy four school shirts, get one free. Buy two skirts, jumpers or pants, get the third 50% off. Need embroidery and monogramming done? Visit Janae's Uniform Center early. Beat the back to school rush. Janae's Chesapeake Road back to school special. Restrictions apply.
Looking for your dream job in paradise? At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, we're hiring. And with over 200 positions available, we're confident you'll find your perfect fit. Whether you're passionate about keeping guests safe as a lifeguard, or if mixing up refreshing cocktails as a bartender is more your speed, there's a spot waiting just for you. Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career to explore openings and apply today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Okay, we back? All right. You see how the people almost catch us talking about one fella by the name of Tito?
That's another story.
That's another story for another day. Okay, guys. So we're talking, of course, about juveniles who are criminally minded. I do have a guest. Thank you for a person who would have called. Oh, my goodness. I haven't even been checking the text. You know, one text me. Nobody texts, just calls. Okay, great. And if you do have a text message, 422-4796. If you have a comment, 422-4796. All right, so is Dr. Williams there? Hi, Dr. Williams.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Awesome.
Now, Dr. Williams, I know that you are in charge of the juvenile, is it the juvenile unit, the juvenile detention, or juvenile detention unit, the director?
Yeah, we refer to it as the juvenile detention.
Okay.
Facility.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also you're the founder from Boys to Promising Young Men organization, as well as a reserve police officer, master educator, and trainer. So you were laughing when I told you, and I say, well, I mean, I know you got about 20 years experience, but you look like you're only 20. Yes, but I know you got that experience. Yes.
Right.
So now I invited you on the show because, you know, I have some questions. You're seeing things that we don't get to see. Now, first of all, could you tell us about the juvenile detention? What is it exactly? So that people understand what we're talking about.
Well, juvenile detention would be the incarceration of these juveniles when they would have committed crimes.
Okay.
Such as murder, attempted murder, armed robbery, things of that greater criminal offense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what ages?
Well, it varies. It mm-hmm. varies, but you know, we consider anyone under the age of 18.
All right.
A juvenile. And personally, being in the school system, because I was an educator in the high school system for some 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in this day and age, what we're seeing, age does not really matter.
Okay.
Because from I was in the high school, we'd have 13, 14-year-olds carrying weapons, such as ammunition, firearms.
So we ain't talking about a little knife here.
No, we knives are gone are the days where we see young people trying to save money to buy a knife. We don't buy the knives anymore. We're saving money to buy firearms.
Okay.
Bulletproof vests.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. All right. So from where you're sitting, what are you seeing? And for starters,
I thought that, and I know that there was a unit there, but what's the difference between them going, let's say, to the boys' school? Like, how do they now transition into where you're at? Like, what's the difference between the two?
Well, if you, like I said, for the more high-rated crimes such as murder, mm-hmm. you would not want to send a young man to Simpson Pen,
okay.
and to be amongst a child that just was skipping school or
right.
was in making curfew or, you know, with a lower criminal offense. Yeah, okay. so.
Okay. And, like, what's the background? Like, where are these children? Like, give me the normal, the, let's say, the family dynamics. Just educate us because, you know, I know plenty. You tell me.
Okay, so first I want to get back at something you were discussing earlier.
Okay.
Whereas, I don't know if it was you or the other lady.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about back in the days, the
family structure, families, the grandparents. Mm-hmm.
They made do with what they had and they made it work. And so, you know, why the children of today can't, you know, just be satisfied or some, it was somewhere around that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the costing of the grocery, the things that you need, the necessities of life, these things are what you call expensive, and the average home struggles to be able to even put food sometimes on the table. And that's facts. We're talking facts today.
Right.
The average home struggles to find food every day for a household of even three or more children. Okay, so when we talk about making do with what we have, what do we have? What's the average pay a parent brings home every week? Fortunate to have two parents in the home. What about the home with one parent?
Right.
Me, I consider myself a person that made it, but Jesus, I work two and three jobs.
So, well, okay, I'm going to stick a pin right there. So that's the thing right there. How come, what's the difference? Like, what is the mindset? How come the children are not, why are they not going out there to get these jobs? Like, it always, you know how, this is the time right now. You know, when we go to the food store and we see the young men who say they're going away on this trip, this basketball trip, and they have sponsors, right? And mm-hmm. several times I don't get cussed out plenty times because several times I say, but you out here asking for sponsors and you outside the food store where there are young men who pack in. They you know, they pack in boys and they making mm-hmm. their own money. But you out here asking people to give you money. So what's the difference? What's the mindset? You just said that you had three jobs, this job, and I agree. I mean, me and Shakisha, we wear about 10 different hats because, you know, we trying to get this paper. And even my daughter's working, she's home, but she, at one point, she worked with Shakisha, she had but three jobs too. So what's right. the difference between this child who is going to go out there and get, and who wants to work to make the money versus this other one? Like, what's this mindset? Because we need to get into that.
Because one, the child that comes from the home, that is packed, the one that is packing and trying to make ends meet, he knows what it is not to have. And he knows that at the end of the day, if he don't go in there and make his own sunshine, he will not have. So he came from a home where he was taught and he saw that, look here, if you go there and you work hard, you're going to make some money at the end of the day and you're going to be able to do some things.
Right. Okay.
Whereas some homes, we don't teach our children that, hey, you work for this and you can, at the end of the day, achieve X, Y, Z.
Right, right.
Some of these children are in homes where everybody is hustling, if I could call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we could hustle today, we'll hustle. So the child takes on the hustle mentality.
Right, yes.
If
yes.
you're teaching a child that, at the end of the day, you go there and you sell this or you work for this, you will get this and make it happen, then that child will do that. The same way the child watches a friend or a family member, a father, a brother, in some cases, go out there and sell weed and make money and wear the best and dress the best and drive the nicest car. That is what they see and that is what they think living is about and that is what they pursue. I'm going to go there, sell some drugs, and I'm going to have a lot of money in my pocket, and I'm going to be the one who, you know, catches the girls' attention and do whatever it is that they
So see. They're modeling. So pretty much you're saying that they're modeling this in the home. I mean, because, okay, I have your name written here because, okay, I don't know if you know Dr. Carter. I've mentioned her name several times. And I remember Dr. Carter, she has three sons. And I remember and noticed she got the big DR, just like you in the front of her name. From Fox Hill Day, her children had a stall. They would pick up bottles and take the bottles sometimes and get the money back. They would sell ice cream. They would do all this stuff. Shakisha, who is with me right now, I've been to their eatery, and the children are there working. They inside there working. My daughter did delivery. My daughter worked at an ice cream parlor. My daughter, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? So what you're saying is that a lot of times they're not seeing that. So they're seeing either the easy money or let's say or nothing that is even being reinforced. That, hey, okay, sweetie, go out there and listen, go hustle for this. This is not being reinforced. So now they have this mindset, a different mindset.
Different mindset that, hey, whatever it is, I see my uncle, I see my cousin, I see this one doing it that way.
Right.
Listen, that's the way I'm going to try. And that is what I have been preaching for some time. Even to my young boys in the high school, they come and this is the way they talk. This is the way they function. But they simply do these things because they were never taught a different avenue.
And you know something, Dr. Williams?
They were never shown how to do it different.
I'm sitting here. I don't know if I just hungry or what, but I thinking about the Chinese people. Didn't you all see that their children is being there waking? Working?
Working.
That's right.
Small.
Think about it from young.
Working. They're small and they are working. The thing about it is, these children feel like they are entitled. And
right.
I don't know how is it that we could be parents, so they're working hard and letting our children just lay around or hang around and be out until 10, 11 o'clock in the night and just do their own thing. But this is what happened.
So this is now what happened. This sense of entitlement.
Yes. Like, okay. Mommy going out there to do it. That's how it's going to get done. So they lay back. And then another thing that bothers me before it slipped my mind. And I've seen it again, and I'm just so tired of seeing it. I'm tired of seeing child abuse 10, 11 o'clock at night in that Oaksville area, in the Arawaki area. There is no way in hell 9, 10, 11-year-olds should be out there selling chocolate.
That's right.
Selling chips and selling fruits, man.
Well, listen. Well, this wasn't them. I was on Prince Charles, and this little child, she cannot be over 4 years old. Had to be four. And the child was so small till she barely even could hold a little water and thing what she was selling. Mm-mm. And I did not see an adult present or nearby. Now, I don't know if the adult gone in the store or was in the car or wherever the heck it was, but this little person was there selling these drinks. Like, she's so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Someone could just pick her up, go in the car, and just zoom off.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow,
mm-hmm.
See, let me stay focused. Okay, that, Dr. Williams.
That is what we're seeing.
Let me ask you this. Okay. So the family structure is lacking. Now, many of these boys who you see, do they have a father figure or a father figure in their life?
I would say about 70% of the boys that come to me have no father figure in their life. And I would say there's a good number as well who don't have father, neither mother.
Wow.
Okay. And so, like I was explaining to one of my fellow friends earlier today, we in the public, we look at the small picture. We only see the part when they're going off the court, they're going, getting arrested, and they're getting sent into prison. When you open up that bigger picture, because I always tell people, listen here, my boys don't pick up a gun at the age of 15, 16, 17 and just decide to kill somebody. Okay?
Right.
It did not start there. It started at some point earlier, and if we don't get to the bottom of that, we will forever be doing the same thing we're doing over and over. These boys, and another thing, a lot of my boys, and a lot of people don't like touch it, but I have to say it, they come from a Haitian descent background, and I have nothing against them. I love all of them the same way. But when you what we have to do is get into these Haitian communities, because I sit with my boys and I talk to them. And what we have to do is get to these Haitian mothers, and if there is a father, these Haitian fathers.
No, I told someone that you were coming on, and that was a question that they said that I must ask you the demographic of nationality and all this stuff. And it's something we can ask right around it. We have to. I remember doing some work in Abaco many years ago. And it was with the females. A lot of self-esteem issues. Plenty issues. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you, would that mind give me that percentage again? How many it's, you would say of Haitian descent?
It's high. It's a lot of them. But some of them refer to them as Haitian demons. Their culture, what we have to do, and I always say, we cannot take one thing and deal with everybody the same way. It has to be people with heart who's willing to get to the root of every single problem in order to solve the problem. And that right there is a problem. When we go into these Haitian communities, we need to get to these parents and find out exactly what is going on. And I think poverty was mentioned earlier.
Right.
That is another thing. Because when you have these children, they are vulnerable. People can pick them up and get them to do almost anything for a couple of dollars. But again, like I say, they are not exposed to what they can do honorably and legally for a couple of dollars.
Okay, well, right, you just touched on it. And actually, the person had asked me this other question, but I see my co-host, Shakisha, she just brought it up. So could you say what you said?
Okay. I run a business, and one of my business, I have come across a lot of young people that are of Haitian descent, or what we would describe as Haitian Bohemian. And a lot of times the problems that some of them have is they feel disenfranchised because they don't have the proper documents, so they can't work. So
right.
They can't open a bank account. They can't do certain things. And so they come looking. And if you're going by the book and you're following what you're supposed to follow, you can't hire them.
Right. So now that... So
that leaves them.
What options do they now have? So, okay.
Because I've come across one I know. He had an ankle monitor on. And this boy has BJCs and BGCSEs. But by the time he came out of school, he didn't have
options
a Bahamian... He didn't have a Bahamian passport. He was born here to... Mm-hmm.
Haitian
parents. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have a Bahamian passport. Apparently, if you're not born in Haiti, you don't have a Haitian passport either. So even though he may have wanted to, it was easy for the streets to pull him in because he couldn't work.
So, Dr. Williams, have you seen, like, with your boys? And I like how you keep saying my voice. I like that. Okay.
Yes.
Many of them, do they have, do they have documentation?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
That is why, you see, the organization I run that's called From Boys to Promising Men, Young Men, that was birthed because if we cannot put them in a position where they're able to feed themselves, recidivism or death will be their only path to take. Because if you cannot work, you cannot sustain yourself. If you cannot work, there will be no way out. If you cannot work, how can you make it without funds? How can you make it without money in your pocket?
So,
you
okay,
mm-hmm.
Is there a, this guy to be a part 2, 3, and 4. Okay, so I'm curious, many of you boys, do you see them now returning to prison, like a lot? Like, do they, like when they're done, they did their time, they just go off and be productive citizens, or do many of them actually commit the crimes and return to prison?
Some boys, for the most part, a lot of them don't come back because they do not like the life where you are told what to do, you're locked down, and so on and so forth. Then again, we'd have some to return. And I kid you not, when I deal with these boys, I don't just deal with somebody else's son. I deal with these boys as if they were my sons.
Well, you keep saying my boy, so I hear you. I see you, boo. Uh-huh.
Right. So when I have a boy that has tried and is released, and I'm working the program and program, and I'm trying to get government, I'm trying to get private, I'm trying to get assistance, and I'm fighting to get these things because I've buried so much boys. I've had so much boys cry out to me to be even the daddy because I'm not a man, and I never have I been a man, but I had a young man ask me to be his father. He said, my mommy okay, but I just need a daddy. If you, Dr. Williams, what you do? If you could be my daddy, man.
They asking a woman to be the daddy.
I had so much boys that I lost. We wrote songs together. There's one that was beaten in the background. I was gunned down. I will never change the rhythm to that song. But I have these boys that when they come out, they plead with me. And I only could say, hold on for so long. Right. I only could say, hold on for so long. I'm hoping the people come through with this and that. Because I am a mother divorced on the grounds of cruelty. So even though I went through what I went through, I don't want these boys to become that person that statistic. I went through. Do you understand? Yeah. So yeah. When I do what I do for them, I do for my heart. And I say, hold on, I'm trying. And I hate the fact that I was trying for about 2 months and the boy just couldn't hold on no more. When I hear the people call me XYZ lock up again for stealing, I'm like, oh, God, no. But I know that he tried. But society will look at him and say, oh, look, I know he was going to, and this thing and the next thing, but I've been holding, and he's been holding on, and he just couldn't hold on no more.
Well, you know, which leads to another, well, someone texts this question, and it's such a good question. I mean, I know the answer here, but a question for you or the good doctor. If you take a youth out of or adult out of a polluted environment, quote unquote, rehabilitate them, then throw them back into that environment, what real change can we expect?
From boys to promising young men is designed to when they have that rehabilitation after they've been incarcerated. From boys to promising young men is to follow up with them. And even though they go back into that community, they will still hear the voice of Dr. Williams. Come on, man, we got to do better. We doing this. Let's go. Let's continue to get this. Mm-hmm. You know, you got it. They will not only be standing alone anymore.
Okay.
So society sets them up for failure when you serve and you send them back. Yes, I agree. I totally agree. But everybody has to play the role in helping. That's why I created a plan for the parents.
Oh, Jesus.
Sending them back to these parents' homes. And these parents need to be educated in some cases, habilitated and rehabilitated and taught some skills how to parent. And what do they know how to parent?
Dr. Williams, see, listen, anyhow, this got to be part 2, 3. I see you only got 3 minutes left. So thank you, Dr. Williams. You definitely got to come back on because this is a topic that we clearly and we're not done with. So thank you once again for being a part of the show. Yes.
Not a problem.
Yes. You know, it's just so much going on. And, you know, Shakisha, as I mentioned, I know you have businesses that you are definitely that you're in charge of. And when I, in my other life, at the other, you know, mm-hmm. at a place where I worked before, when I would send the people to you, I had to send them to your establishment because they had to do the work study, the internship, and nobody would take them because they had criminal records, they had ankle bracelets, they had all these things. And by the way, I have to tell you many times, like I used to forget this one was on attempted murder charge and da-da-da. they was the sweetest young man. I am telling you, I did love them, man. Hello. But I remember sending them to your establishment. And in one situation, though, I remember I was so proud of this person. He was doing good. I mean, y'all was even working on paying off the, remember what you call it now? You know, I could be 100 years old. The thing when you got to pay off.
What you mean, a fine?
Yes, a fine. See, I tell you, I could be 100 years old. Paying off the fine, you always open the paying off the fine. I go out on vacation, come back, the child quit.
Mm-hmm.
And quit because, you know, he said he needed to get paid more. Mm-hmm. Mind you, this just internship and things like this. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how you even get there. But no BJCs, no nothing.
Criminal record,
never graduated, blah, blah, blah. And I had to talk to him dead strong. But the thing about it, when I checked stock, it was the mother that was telling him that he should get paid more. I'm telling you.
Right. So how? You know, you have to start from somewhere.
Yeah. And then, too, you know, there's no one solution. There's so many things. So, and there are people out there, okay, Shakisha is from the getaway, and
So I better get away, yes.
We're located in the Golden Gate Shopping Center.
That's right, the Golden Gate Shopping Plaza. Oh, Center
Plaza.
Plaza, same thing. Right, right there. That's right. What y'all is so if, by the way?
We're open.
Every day.
Since you're asking, we're open 7 days a week. We serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We specialize in Bahamian food. So
yeah.
If you're looking for that Bahamian food.
And then y'all is be up open a little late sometimes.
Friday and Saturday, we're open until 1 a.m. The kitchen closes at 12. Every other day, the kitchen is open until 11 and we close at 12.
And I'm mentioning them because, like I said, okay, you know, sometimes we say that there's nobody who would help people. I tired send people there. Yeah. Okay? I'm sending people there all the time who society, believe it or not, who they may find it hard or difficult to find a job. I mean, between you and your mom.
So I tell her that's a ministry.
Yes.
Like, it's a business. It ain't really a business. It's a ministry.
Yes.
There are so many people that come through the doors that you just...
Yes.
You try to help. You try to give them the guidance that they may not have gotten. Even trying to teach them, like, okay, this is what work is about. This is what is expected of you. You know, and you give them chances. That's now, some of them, you know, they take it.
And then some don't. Well, see, and that's the thing. Well... And in response to what this person had texted, is asking about what happens when they go back, I agree with you 100%. And that is why, you know, the government is actually working on, they have a whole lot of programs. I must say, the Ministry of Education is really trying. Nia, man, Shakisha, why are you looking like that?
Yeah, they because are, we, though. No, but Stanya, we've talked about this. And I asked you, we could have a million programs. But are they effective programs?
One that I know that they're working on. They're working on this, on a place where the children can stay. Okay, that they don't have to go back. They have a lot of things that they try and that they're working on. Now, I mean, I could call the government out, but there's a lot of things. And you know that on my list too. But anyhow, see what Brittany doing, right? She telling me I must hurry it along and get off there. See, y'all think I be lying on Brittany. But anyhow, and you see the look she got on her face?
Okay. Brittany doing a job, man.
I tell you, man, she trained under the white. But, you know, I have a list of about 10 things that I didn't even get to today. So definitely there needs to be another part. And, you know, this ain't no blame game.
No.
And not only is it not a blame game, what I realize is that there's no one solution to the problem. We talked about parents, yes, but there's so many different layers and levels to this thing that we all play a part in, okay? From the government, to the church, to me, to you, to the neighbors, to Grammy, mommy, daddy, whoever it is. There's no one solution to this situation. This is multi-layered. Okay, so in other words, this got to be a collaborative effort. We got to all come together. Whether or not it's the church doing it, whether or not it's a parent tighten up with the parenting, whether or not it's the school system having programs there or the community having programs, we all are at fault. And we all are the solution. Okay, so with that said, definitely we got to do a part two. This child, listen, I feel this is not Stanley. What does your guess mean by they can't hold on? They can, okay, can't go clean cars, cut. Man, listen. Thank you. I really appreciate this message. I gonna need more time. Once again, if you want to sponsor Tell It to Stanya, you could message me, tellitostanya@gmail.com. I do want to leave my number. But boy, I had good luck with that. That's right. I'm a little scared of that. So please send me a message, right, through Gmail, okay? An email, tell it to Stanya, TELLITTOSTANYA. Tell it to Stanya @gmail.com. Brittany giving me the dirty look. I am out of here.
Let's find out together.